The Autobiography of George Mueller, or A Million and a Half in Answer to Prayer. Chapter 2, Part 2, being read by Peter John Parises, also known as Brian Dean, offers himself for missionary work. In August 1827, I heard that the Continental Society in England intended to send a minister to Bucharest, the residence of many nominal German Christians, to help an aged brother in the work of the Lord, the two other German Protestant ministers in that place being, one, a socialman, and the other, an unenlightened Orthodox preacher. After consideration and prayer, I offered myself for this work to Professor Tholuck, who had been requested to look out for a suitable individual. For with all my weakness, I had a great desire to live wholly for God. Most unexpectedly, my father gave his consent, though Bucharest was about 1,000 miles from my home and as completely a missionary station as any other. I consider this a remarkable providence, though I see now that a servant of Christ has to act for his master, whether it be according to the will of the earthly father or not. I then went home to spend a short time with my father. In the town where he lived, containing about 3,000 inhabitants, I could not hear of a single believer, though I made many inquiries. The time I stayed with my father was more profitably spent than it had formerly been. I was enabled more than ever before to realize my high calling. I had, by the grace of God, power over sin, at least much more than at any former period of my life. I returned to Holland, now prepared with earnestness for the work of the Lord. I set before me the sufferings which might await me. I counted the cost. And he, who once so fully served Satan, was now willing, constrained by the love of Christ, rather to suffer affliction for the sake of Jesus, quote, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, unquote. I also prayed with a degree of earnestness concerning my future work. One day, at the end of October, the aforementioned brother, Herman Ball, missionary to the Jews, attended the Lord's Day evening meeting in my room on his way through Hale, and stated that he feared, on account of his health, he should be obliged to give up laboring among the Jews. When I heard this, I felt a peculiar desire to fill up his place. About this very time also, I became exceedingly fond of the Hebrew language, which I had cared about very little up to that time, and which I had merely studied now and then from a sense of duty. But now I studied it for many weeks with a great eagerness and delight. While I thus, from time to time, felt a desire to fill up Brother Ball's place as a missionary to the Jews, about which, however, I did not seriously think, because Dr. Tholuck daily expected a letter from London, finally to settle the particulars respecting my going to Bucharest. And while I thus greatly desired and delighted in the study of Hebrews, I called in the evening of November 17th on Dr. Tholuck. In the course of my conversation, he asked me whether I had ever had a desire to be a missionary to the Jews, as I might be connected with the London Society for Promoting Christianity among them, for which he was an agent. I was struck with the question and told him what had passed in my mind, but added that it was not proper to think anything about it as I was going to Bucharest, to which he agreed. When I came home, however, these few words were like fire within me. The next morning I felt all desire for going to Bucharest gone, which appeared to me very wrong and fleshly, and I therefore entreated the Lord to restore to me the former desire for laboring on that missionary station. He graciously did so almost immediately. My earnestness in studying Hebrew and my particular love for it, however, continued. About this time, I had an offer of becoming a tutor to the sons of a pious gentleman of title, which I did not accept on account of my purpose of going to Bucharest, and if that should come to nothing, on account of my desire of being a missionary to the Jews. Offers to become a missionary to the Jews. About 10 days after, Dr. Derelick received a letter from the Continental Society stating that, on account of the war between the Turks and Russians, it appeared well to the committee, for the time being, to give up the thought of sending a minister to Bucharest, as it was the seat of war between the two armies. Dr. Thurlock then asked me again what I now thought about being a missionary to the Jews. My reply was that I could not then give an answer, but that I would let him know after I had prayerfully considered the matter. After prayer and consideration and consulting with experienced brothers, in order that they might probe my heart as to my motives, I came to this conclusion, that though I could not say with certainty it was the will of God that I should be a missionary to the Jews, yet that I ought to offer myself to the committee, leaving it with the Lord to do with me afterwards as it might seem good in his sight. Accordingly, Dr. Thurlock wrote about the beginning of December 1827 to the Committee of London. In the beginning of the year of 1828, there was a new workhouse established at Hull, into which persons of bad characters were put for a time and made to work. Being disposed to benefit unbelievers, I heartily desired to have permission stated to preach the word of truth to them while I stayed at Hull, particularly as I understood that one of the lecturers of divinity in the university, who was a Socinian, that's S-O-C-I-N-I-A-N, had applied for this living. I wrote to the magistrates of the city and offered to preach those criminals graciously, hoping that in this way there would be less objection in my doing so. The reply was that Doctor had applied for this living and that it had been laid before the providential government for consideration, but that they would be glad if I would preach in their workhouse till the matter was decided. The decision did not come for some time, and I had thus an opportunity of preaching twice every Lord's Day and once or twice on the week evenings. And besides this, I took the criminals one by one into a room to converse with them about their souls. Thus the Lord condescended to give to me one so unworthy, so ignorant, so weak in grace, and so young in the faith in the years, a most important field of labor. However, it was well that even under these circumstances I should have labored there, for humanly speaking, had I not been there, they would have had either no instruction at all, or Socinian, or an unenlightened preacher would have preached to them. And besides this, I had at least some qualifications for ministering there, for I knew the state of those poor sinners, having been myself formerly, in all probability, a great deal worse than most of them, and my simplicity and plainness of speech, they would not have found in every minister. After some months, the matter was decided. The Socinian lecturer of divinity, Doctor, was appointed to the living, and I had to discontinue my labor. It was not until March 1828 that Professor Thurlock received an answer from London respecting me, in which the committee put a number of questions to me on the satisfactory answers to which my being received by them would depend. After replying to this first communication, I waited daily for an answer, and was so much the more desirous of having it as my course in the university was completed. But no answer came. Had my desire to serve the Lord among the Jews been of the flesh, it would in all likelihood not have continued. But I still thought about it and continued to make it a subject of prayer. At last, on June 13th, I received a letter from London stating that the committee had determined to take me as a missionary student for 6 months on probation, provided I would come to London. I had now had the matter before me about 7 months, having supposed not only that it would have been settled in a few weeks, but also that if I were accepted, I should be sent out immediately as I had passed the university. Instead of this, not only 7 months passed over before the decision came, but I was also expected to go to London. And not only so, but though I had from my infancy been more or less studying, and now at last wished actively to be engaged in the work, it was required that I should again become a student. For a few moments, therefore, I was greatly disappointed and tried. But on calmly considering the matter, it appeared to me but right that the committee should know me personally, and that it was also well for me to know them more intimately than merely by correspondency, as this afterwards would make our connection much more comfortable. I determined, therefore, after I had seen my father and found no difficulty on his part, to go to London. Military service demanded. There was, however, an obstacle in the way of my leaving the country. Every Prussian male subject is under the necessity of being for 3 years a soldier, provided his state of body allows it. But those who have had a classical education up to a certain degree, and especially those who have passed the university, need to be only 1 year in the army, but have to equip and maintain themselves during that year. Now, as I had been considered fit for service when I was examined in my 20th year, and had only been put back at my own request till my 23rd year, and as I was now nearly 23, I could not obtain a passport out of the country till I had either served my time or had been exempt by the king himself. The latter, I hope, would be the case, for it was a well-known fact that those who had given themselves to missionary work had always been exempted. A certain brother of influence living in the capital to whom I wrote on the subject advised me, however, to write first to the president of the government of the province to which I belong. This was done, but I was not exempted. Then these brothers wrote to the king himself, but he replied that the matter must be referred to the ministry and to the law, and no exemption was made in my favor. I now knew not what to do. In the meantime, at the beginning of August, I was taken ill. It was a common cold at first, but I could not get rid of it as formerly. This illness, in which particular care of my body seemed to be right, into which, therefore, frequent walks were taken, and in which I thought myself justified in laying aside the study of Hebrew, etc., had not at all a beneficial effect on my soul. In connection with this, one of the chief companions at this time, an American professor, was a backslider. If the believing reader does not know much of his own heart and of man's wickedness, he will scarcely think it possible that, after I had been born with by the Lord so long, and had received so many mercies at his hands, and had been so fully and freely pardoned through the blood of Jesus, which I both knew from his word and had also enjoyed, and after that I had been in such various ways engaged in the work of the Lord, I should have been once more guilty of great backsliding, and that at the very time when the hand of God was laying heavily upon me, oh, how desperately wicked is the human heart. It was in this cold state of heart that I rode with my friend to spell Leipsic at the time of the famous Michaelmas fair. He wished me to go with him to the opera. I went, but had not the least enjoyment. After the first act, I took a glass of ice for refreshment. After the second act, I was taken faint in consequence of this, my stomach being in a very weak state, but I was well enough after a while to go to the hotel, where I passed a tolerable night. On the next morning, my friend ordered the carriage for our return to Hale. This circumstance the Lord graciously used as a means of arousing me, and on our way home, I freely opened my mind to my friend about the way in which we had been going on, and he then told me that he was in a different state of heart when he left America. He also told me, when I was taken faint, that he thought it was an awful place to die in. This was the second and last time, since I believed in the Lord Jesus, that I went to a theater, and but once in the year of 1827 I attended a concert, when I likewise felt that it was unbecoming of me, as a child of God, to be in such a place. On my return to hell I broke a blood vessel in my stomach. I was now exceedingly ill for several weeks, and then went for change of air into the country, to the house of a beloved brethren in the Lord, who up to this day has continued a kind and faithful friend to me. My soul was now again in a better state than it had been before the rupture of the blood vessel. Thus the Lord, in the faithful love of his heart, seeing that I was in a backsliding state, chastised me for my profit, and the chastisement yielded, in a measure at least, quote, the peaceable fruit of righteousness, unquote. Hebrews 12:10-11. While I was staying in the country, I received a letter from the American professor, who had in the meantime changed Hale for Berlin, and who wished me to come to Berlin, where, being near the court, I should be more likely to obtain exemption from my military duty. And he mentioned at the same time that all the expenses connected with my stay in Berlin would be fully covered by the remuneration I would receive for teaching German to himself and two of his friends, for a few hours every week, as I had no more connection with the University of Hale, and as I had the prospect of being spiritually benefited through my stay in Berlin, and there was no probability, if I remained at Hale, of obtaining the above-mentioned exemption, I came to the conclusion to go to Berlin. Two ladies of title traveled with me to Berlin in a hired carriage. As I knew that we should be for 2 days together, I thought in my flesh of wisdom that though I ought to speak to them about the things of God, I should first show them kindness and attention, and that after this opening a way to their hearts, I might fully set before them their state of nature and point them to the Lamb of God. We went on together most amicably, I making only a few general remarks about divine things. On the second evening, however, when we were near the end of our journey, I felt that it was high time to speak. And no sooner had I begun plainly to do so than one of them replied, "Oh, sir, I wish you had spoken sooner about these things, for we have for a long time wished to have someone to whom we might open our hearts. But seeing that the ministers whom we know do not live consistently, we have been kept from speaking to them. I now found that they had been under conviction of sin for some time, but did not know the way to obtain peace, even by faith in the Lord Jesus. After this I spoke freely to them during the hour that yet remained. They parted from me with feelings of gratitude and regret that they could hear no more, for they only passed through Berlin. I felt myself greatly reproved, and all I could do was, by a long letter, to seek to make up for my deficiency in ministering to them on the journey. May this circumstance never be forgotten by me, and may it prove a blessing to the believing reader. Exempt from military service, my chief concern now was how I might obtain a passport for England through exemption from military duty. But the more certain brethren tried, though they knew how to settle about the matter, and were also persons of rank, the greater difficulty there appeared to be in obtaining my object, so that in the middle of January, 1829, it seemed as if I must immediately become a soldier. There was now but one more way untried, and it was at last resorted to. A believing major, who was on good terms with one of the chief generals, proposed that I should actually offer myself for entering the army, and that then I should be examined as to my bodily qualifications, in the hope that as I was still in a very weak state of body, I should be found unfit for military service. In that case, it would belong to the chief general finally to settle the matter, who, being a godly man himself, on the major's recommendations, would no doubt hasten the decision, on account of my desire to be a missionary to the Jews. At the same time, it stood so that, if I should be found fit for service, I should have to enter the army immediately. Thus far, the Lord had allowed things to go to show me, it appears, that all my friends could not procure me a passport till his time had come. But now it was come. The King of Kings had intended that I should go to England, because he would bless me there and make me a blessing, though I was at that time and am still most unworthy of it. And therefore, though the King of Prussia had not been pleased to make an exemption in my favor, yet now all was made plain, and that at a time when my hope had almost been given up, and when the last means had been resorted to, I was examined and was declared to be unfit for military service, with a medical certificate to this effect and a letter of recommendation from the mayor. I went to this chief general, who received me very kindly, and who himself wrote instantaneously to a second military physician, likewise to examine me at once. This was done, and it was by him confirmed that I was unfit. Now the chief general himself, as his adjutants happened to be absent, in order to hasten the matter, wrote with his own hands the papers which were needed, and I got a complete dismissal, and that for life from all military engagements. This was much more than I could have expected. The military gentleman spoke to me in a very kind way, and pointed out certain parts of the Scripture which he, in particular, advised me to bring before the Jews, especially Romans chapter 11. On considering why the Lord delayed my obtaining this permission, I found that one of the reasons may have been that I might both be profited myself by my stay in Berlin, in that I also might be instrumental in benefiting others. As to the first, I would mention that I learned a lesson in Berlin, which I did not know before. While I was at Halle, I thought I should much enjoy being among so many Christians as there are in Berlin. But when I was there, I found that enjoyment in the Lord does not depend upon the multitude of believers by whom we are surrounded. As to the second point, perhaps the last day may show that the Lord had some work for me in Berlin. For from the time of my coming until I left, I preached 3, 4, or 5 times every week in the wards of a poorhouse, which was inhabited by about 300 aged and infirm people. I also preached once in a church, and likewise visited one of the prisons several times on the Lord's Day, to converse with the prisoners about their souls. I was locked in by the keeper with the criminals in their cells. On the whole, my time in Berlin was not lost, and I was in a better state of heart than I had been for any length of time before. I was not once overcome by my former outward besetting sins, though I have nothing to boast of even as regards that period. And were only the sins of those days brought against me, had I not the blood of Jesus to plead, I should be most visible. But I think it right to mention, for the glory of God, as I have so freely spoken about my falls, that whilst I was more than ever unobserved by others, and while I was living in the midst of more gaiety and temptation than ever, and had far more money than at any previous time in my life, I was kept from things of which I had been habitually guilty in my unconverted days. My health was in a very weak state almost the whole time while I was staying in Berlin, and was no better till, on the advice of a believing medical professor, I gave up all medicines.